the Goyim, and we're in Perek Yud Aleph, all the way at Tet. Okay, so we were talking about, in this Perek, we've been talking about the Begodim. It's actually called Kol HaBegodim. And then we moved on to talking about the way in which it's possible for something that is not a beged, but it's just a thread, based on what the Torah says, but specifically in the Tzemru Pishtim, and it mentions in the Shasi or the Erev, which means that even in the thread itself, it's possible to get a nega. So we talked about how the threads would be spooled. We talked about the previous Mishnah, at what point to consider to be Gemar Malachtam, whether you need Gemar Malachtam, and the fact that here, strangely enough, even though when you would unspool the threads, you certainly wouldn't have a kegris. It's impossible to have a kegris in one place. And that is gufa part of the Kiddush of the Pasuk. Now, we want to discuss the issue of where the threads are not all spooled together, one next to the other, but are connected, and specifically, one of the most fascinating ways that they're connected is, of course, when they are in the process of becoming a beged. So they are currently on a knitting loom. And that's why it's a little bit complicated. So let's first start from the simple case. Somebody is, and this is very common, you see this all the time, by the way, I used to see it as a kid. When my grandmother used to do a lot of Singer sewing machine stuff. You used to have to spool off of your big spool of thread onto those little tiny spools that would fit in the bottom underneath where the needle penetrates and grabs the bottom thread to make. That's how the sewing machines work. It's not the same thread. There's no way to get, obviously, the same thread up and down. So this is spooling, it was called. So you would basically spool the thread from one spool of thread to another. It's from one ball of thread or whatever. So your malam in a pakat l'chaverta. Actually, we distinguish between what is a pakat. A pakat is a ball of thread that isn't spooled around something, or a slil. A slil is spooled around something. So let's say that you put it on the machine. They used to have this little thing that you could do. You would put one spool on one side of the machine, one side of the other, and then the machine would electrically allow you to spool it. Somebody's spooling from ball to another, from one spool to another. So is that considered to be, in that case, where they're connected, is it possible that the connection of a thread, where there was enough of threads that were spooled on the spool, that would become tame, that it would be possible for the nega to follow along the thread? Or let's take a case that would happen very, very often. You've got a loom that is set up, and you've put the threads of the shasi on the kovet ha'elyona, and they're now headed down to the kovet ha'tachtona. So remember how that works. We've gone through this many, many times. We talked about it in Kalim. We talked about it in Shabbos. And it's really quite a simple design, a loom. So what you have is you have your upper roller. It's called a beam. So you have this upper beam. You attach threads to the upper beam, and they're individual threads. But there's a lot of them, maybe thousands of them. I mean, obviously, it depends on the size of your industrial looms of thousands and thousands. You got these chassis threads that are coming off of an upper beam, and you bring them around through these frames that have the heddles in them, and you tie them onto a lower beam, and then you start turning that, and now you've basically got these threads that are only going in one direction. And then you're able to move them because you've got a minimum of these two frames. You might have hundreds of frames, but you have these minimum of two frames that are taking every other thread in a different direction, right? And that allows you to put through the shuttle that's carrying the warp threads, it's carrying the the weft threads, it's carrying the orev threads through it, back and forth. Okay. So now that would mean that these threads are not on a spool together. They're basically in midair, right? They're just hanging. They're going from, I mean, they're under tension. So it'd be very tightly together, but it's not the same thing as they're all being on the same spool as part of the same thread. And we were talking about being part of the same thread. So what would be the halacha if a nega actually appeared on the shasid threads that are lined up? Or how about where you're in the middle of making, let's say, a shirt? So you've got this chaluk, you're making a robe or something, right? So now you've got the two sides, and you're now putting a thread through it, which you're going to pull together, and then you're going to have one solid piece. So shnei dape chaluk. So you've got threads that are connecting two sides of a robe, and the nega now turns up on one side. So near a nega bechad mehem. So one of the spools had a nega on it, or one of the beams of the loom had a nega on it, or one of the sides of the rope had a nega on it. Is that considered to be one and the same with the other? So the halacha is, Hare Hasheni Tahor. In all of these cases, only the one that is part of that single unit and not that is connected, no matter how it's connected. Now, the question is, how about if it's not from one roller to the other roller? No, I'm talking about another case. So you told me if it's on one beam and not on the other beam, on one spool and not on the other spool, on one side of the shirt and not on the other side of the shirt. Okay, how about if it's on the very nefesh of the masechet? Now, the nefesh of the masechet is basically where you have, why is it called a nefesh? Where you have all of these shasi threads that are set up, one next to the other, and you've put through the erev, but you haven't combed it down to join it into the cloth. So it's basically, it's called the nefesh in exactly the same way that the soul is inserted into the body, so to speak, right? So it's a separate thing. But then when you end up pressing it down, somehow the human being becomes a body and a soul, right? So this is the nefesh of the weave because it has not yet been born in the weave. So it's hanging there above the weave. And with the moment that you press it down with the comb that you use, which is out of the actual machine, and then it would become the actual weave. So what's the halacha over there? If it's either in the nefesh, meaning so it's on the weft, which is not part yet of the weave, or how about if it's on the shasi ha'omed? The shasi ha'omed is, or all of those hundreds of threads, or however big it is. I mean, it may be a kid's toy loom, maybe it's only five threads or something, you know, kids make little belts on and so on, but whatever. The shasi threads are next to each other, and they're going to be pulled up and down in order for you to be able to pass through the Erev thread. So the shasi ha'omed means that it's omed, it's ready to become woven, but right now it's just standing there, so to speak, waiting. It's waiting for you to insert the Erev. So what would be the halacha in that case? Is that possibly to be considered a beged combined with the concept of shasi ve'erev, which are currently separate, or does it really have to be a beged or one single spool? Hare elu mitam'im b'negaim miyad. Basically, it's all treated as the same thing, and as long as we haven't made it part of the actual beged itself by pressing in the nefesh or by putting in the erev, the halacha is that a nega on this can actually be part of the shear of a gris. So that means that even though they're not necessarily all one thing, they're not all pressed together, it's still going to be considered a gris the same way that Shasiv Ve'erev are considered to be a gris on the spool. So the concept of Shasiv Ve'erev on a loom is that they have the din of the beged when they're next to each other. Rabbi Shimon says, oh, no, that's not necessarily true. It's only where they are lined up one next to the other. If they're not lined up one next to the other, and you haven't made an even line on the ruler, so then they're not considered to be one because you haven't carefully made them into one single surface. When they're really about, everything's been done, and the guy has set it all up perfectly, and now they're ratsuf, then they would become tame. Why? Because then they actually have a similarity to being one unit that is going to be the baguette. But until you see them lined up that way, and there's still like a lot of threads that aren't close together on the same level, they're not considered to be an incipient beged, which is added by the Torah with the words b'shesi ube'erev, because they need to present a unified face of an eved, of a beged. So it turns out that we actually have three different considerations in begadim. We have true beged, we have threads, which would mean that the Torah is talking about threads on a spool. And over there, there's even a question of whether you can have a knot in them. Are they considered to be all one thing if they're not a long single thread? And there's certainly no connection just via threads from one spool to another or one side of a beged to another. And then we have a third concept. And that third concept is an extension of the idea of b'shesi ube'erev, which is set up to be on an actual loom of a shesiva erev. So we understand that the concept of the erev is a reference to the nefesh ha-masechet. It's not a beged yet, but it's an incipient beged. And we understand that the shesi in that mashal is a reference to the set up shesi threads that are going to be a beged that don't even have a nefesh ha-masechet in them. But because of the continuity and of the clear-cut sense that this is about to be a beged, the Torah is including it in the Shasi Ube Erev, which is an amazing understanding of the different levels of the Pasuk.